Hey, my friend, hope you're doing well today. I'm looking at the incredible, almost full moon up over the Rocky Mountains here in Boulder, Colorado. We're packing things up this morning and driving over to Nebraska to start our life there. We're super excited. Start at the hospital tomorrow, and we have a week of training and teaching and going around the state, meeting other doctors and CEOs and administrators at different hospitals. We're going to have a great time, and we're super excited. We get to move into our new house next weekend, and just really grateful for this opportunity that we've been given here by God and the great folks at Great Plains Health in North Platte, Nebraska. So we're excited. But it's a beautiful morning. I hope you're doing great. And today I'm really excited to share a story with you from a woman that Lisa and I met recently. Her website is called prairiewifeinheels.com, prairiewifeinheels.com. Kathy Holman is a woman who moved to Wyoming from Wisconsin, married a cowboy, and went basically from a city life to a country life. And it was such a dramatic change that she started blogging about it several years ago. And her blog became pretty popular, and she was helping other women kind of adjust to change, and really a great story there. And she's a great writer, so you should check out her website. But then a few years ago, something else happened, and she had a rare opportunity. You know, a lot of times in life, things pop up that we don't expect. Somebody dies, the economy crashes, we lose our job, something we weren't prepared for. And like I talked about in the last episode, when we were talking about flying the plane, if you have a good pre-flight check for your life, if you've got a preparation because you anticipate things happening, then you're more able and better equipped to deal with things when they pop up. But sometimes something happens that you get to see coming. You can see the storm coming a way off, and you have an opportunity to do something about it before it happens. And Kathy had an experience like that. So she saw something coming that she knew was a great threat to her life and her family, and she made some decisions that I think the result of those decisions will inspire you, they will move you, and they'll help equip you for when you see something coming in your own life. PrairieWifeInHeels.com is the website. Kathy Holman is the writer, the blogger, the radio personality. She's reminds me a lot of Lisa, kind of dynamic, force of nature kind of person, and that's why they get along so well. But you're going to be blessed and inspired by her story. Kathy's going to help us learn how to throw the first punch when life gives us a problem that we can see coming, and she's going to help us start today. Hey, friend, I'm so glad to have you listening. I'm Dr. Lee Warren, and I live in Nebraska starting tomorrow in the United States of America with my incredible wife, Lisa Warren. I'm a neurosurgeon and an author, and I'm here to help you harness neuroscience, the power of your brain, faith, the power of your spirit, and good old common sense to help you lead a healthier, better, happier life. Listen, buddy, you can't change your life until you change your mind, and we're here to help you learn the art of self-brain surgery to get that done. That's right, I called you buddy, but I usually call you friend. You can get the show notes and more on my website at wleewarrenmd.com. And if you like the show, please subscribe so you never miss an episode. And hey, we're in 75 countries in all 50 states. And imagine how far this positive message of changing your mind and changing your life could go if you would take a second and share my show with a friend or two or three or 10. Tag us on social media at Dr. Lee Warren and at Lisa D. Warren on Instagram and Twitter. Tell people that we're out here. If this is benefiting you, I would appreciate it if you would share the show. Hey, I'm Dr. Lee Warren, and we're changing our minds so we can change our lives. Today, we're going to learn how to throw the first punch with Kathy Holman. Let's get after it. Okay, we're back. I am really excited to introduce you to a relative. Lisa and I met Kathy, who is also known as the Prairie Wife, sort of on our last day in Wyoming. Kathy, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it. And I am thankful for the internet so I can keep on hanging out with you guys, even with your big move.
Yeah, we are too. And, you know, I've told the folks just a little bit about you, but let's start back where the whole Prairie Wife notion came from. I want to hear your story. Let's just talk about your story.
So I'm one of those people where I have that kind of like self-depreciating sense of humor, where I make fun of myself in order to get through things. And I'm originally a city girl born in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I came out to the University of Wyoming for college because we went to Yellowstone on vacation when I was 12 years old. And I was like, oh, I'm going to live here. And my parents were like, Okay. And sure as anything, it came time for college. That's where I picked was the University of Wyoming. Got in. When I was 19, I met the gentleman who would become my husband. And through the course of our life together, he moved me out to the middle of nowhere, Wyoming, about 12 years ago. So city girl, hardcore, like grew up using public transportation and all of that. And then suddenly, 10 acres on my own. We've got horses, chickens, all of that. And so anytime something would happen that I had no idea how to handle, for example, rattlesnake killing, anytime I successfully got through the adventure, I'd say, oh, you know, I earned my Prairie Wife rattlesnake badge. Yeah. And so that's where that's where the whole idea of Prairie Wife came from. And when I decided to start blogging almost 7 years ago this fall about that contrast between life in the city and life in Wyoming, and also at that time too, I had just had our fourth child. So the whole rural aspect of raising children in a kind of secluded environment, I just kind of went with the Prairie Wife thing. And the official name of the blog is Prairie Wife in Heels, because right. I always wear 4-inch, 6-inch heels everywhere I go. And yes, I can hay horses in snow wearing 4-inch heels.
My wife, Lisa, can play basketball in 4-inch heels. So we're
right. It's some of us just have that skill.
That's why you guys get along so well. So you've had five kids now, right?
I do have five kids now, 3 boys and 2 girls. The oldest is 14 and the youngest is 5.
Nice. And you all are, you're Catholic, right?
Yes. Yep. We are very practicing Catholic. My husband and I teach Sunday school, go every week, say the rosary, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, but we're actually, still fun.
That's kind of how we connected, right? The local Catholic bookstore here.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. So I went to purchase a gift for someone from Blessed Are They, which is the Catholic bookstore. And they recommended your book to me. And I said, okay, because I love to read and I'm always trying to learn how I can be better and do better, right? And I'm also a firm believer in science. So the connection between faith and science that was on the back of your book, you know, just reading the blurb appealed to me. I then went on to read it and sob hysterically at like midnight in my bed because I couldn't put it down and was so profoundly struck by the story. Honest, Dr. Warren, I started stalking you on social media and wrote a review and had you on the radio show.
Yeah, I mean, and probably one of the best reviews. And I loved what you did of having some other people put comments in this inside of your review. That was really cool. And I've become friends with Vince through
Yes, that. Wonderful person. Well, so here's the deal. I liked your book so much that I bought it for my father and then for a good family friend because I felt the message was something that they could really hear and listen and connect with.
Right, and we really appreciate that support. And then had me on your show for Memorial Day, which was cool.
Yes. Yeah, I was so thankful for that.
And I was thankful too. And we've come full circle now because if you connect with me, you end up having to be on my podcast at some point. So
I feel like that's a win. I'm just going to say.
Well, that's awesome. And we appreciate that. But that's not all the reason that we had you on today. So you had this interesting part of your life where you had a big change culturally, came to Wyoming, married the cowboy, became the Prairie Wife in Heels. And this blog kind of took you on some adventures that you weren't really expecting, right?
Yeah, it definitely did. So it started out where the main purpose was to offer support to women, wives, and mothers as they lead a life of grit and grace. Because to me, grit and grace is the epitome of women in Wyoming.
I love that.
And so I, you know, shared the ups and downs, the real nitty gritty parenting stuff. Like one more person asked me if my baby sleeps through the night, I'm just going to punch him in the face. Because really, you know, they're doing it just so they can brag about how good their kid sleeps or their grandkid. It's true.
The leading question. It's true.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So kind of my life started being more and more public. And along the way, when so my sister was diagnosed with breast cancer at the age of 38, which is really young, obviously. And so I knew that that was something that I always needed to pay attention to, was my breast health, except for I nursed all of my children for a year. And then about 3 months after they were weaned, I was always pregnant again with another child. So I had not really been doing the mammograms and the things like that that I needed to be doing, because you can't when you're nursing.
That's right.
You don't get an effective mammogram. So fast forward, pregnant with baby number 5, and I received the news that my mom has breast cancer as well. Lot to deal with, lot going on. I couldn't be there to take care of her. They still live in Milwaukee. Had the baby, was sitting there. I think it was at maybe the 4-month follow-up or something like that after having the baby, and mentioned to my doctor that she needed to add my mom to the list. You know, you go over, have there been any health changes in your family? Right. And when I mentioned my mom had breast cancer, my OB looked at me and she was like, we have to do something. And she explained to me that it was no longer a question of if I was going to get breast cancer, it was a question of when.
Wow.
Which is a pretty sobering thought, as you are literally sitting there nursing your 4-month-old child.
Yeah. So what did you respond to that?
So my first response was, can I just cut them off? Because she started talking to me about going on tamoxifen and listing that tamoxifen had risks of, I think it's uterine cancer or ovarian cancer. Plus, like, we're talking about putting a 34-year-old woman into menopause. Yeah. No way, right? That can't be healthy. I mean, maybe, but in my mind, no. So I was like, can I just cut them off? And she stopped and she looked at me and she goes, let me make some phone calls.
Yeah.
So then she connected me with Dr. Dev Paul. He was I believe he's still there at Rose Medical Center in Denver. Phenomenal oncologist that specializes in cancer risk and reduction. And wow. I went in to meet with him, and his response, he walks in and he goes, you know, what are you here for? What do you want? Why are you here visiting me? And my simple response was, I want to live.
Wow.
And we decided that the best opportunity to do that would be to have a preventive mastectomy. Because here's the deal, Dr. Warren. It was no longer a question of if I was going to face cancer, it was when. And you better believe if I'm going to have to fight, I want to throw the first punch.
I love that.
So that's it. And because I had the blog, okay. So can I backtrack for a second?
Yeah, of course.
Is that okay? In the process of deciding what I wanted to do, I had to meet with a genetic counselor, and they go over your whole entire family history. I'm talking like Europe, as far back as you can remember, you know, right. Your great, 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 great grandma in a village in Russia. And through the course of doing that, it was found out that my chance of having breast cancer was between 40 and 60%, depending on what model you looked at.
Wow.
So then fast forward to the oncologist office. If I had a nipple sparing preventive mastectomy, because you can choose to keep your nipples or not, we're going to get into it, Dr. Warren. that would take my risk from that 40 to 60% to 2%.
Wow.
It's not a question, right? Like,
right, not a question.
For me, it wasn't. For me, it wasn't. So we made the decision to go ahead. So on the way home, I'm Googling mastectomy, right? I don't know what, no one, my sister and my mom both had lumpectomies followed by radiation. And then my sister did chemo. They didn't have mastectomies, no idea what it's about. And all I could find were articles in Good Housekeeping about women in the 50 plus crowd having a mastectomy and being really, really tired for like a year and a half afterwards. Yeah.
And that's what that's probably what led you to decide that somebody needed to write about that.
You got it. You got it. I couldn't find anything. Here I am still nursing. I knew the baby was going to be just turning a year old when I had the surgery. And oh yeah, I have 4 other kids. And oh yeah, at the time my husband was traveling 5 days a week and I was doing everything on my own. You can't drive for the first 3 weeks after the surgery, your arms are T-Rex arms. You are not allowed to move them from your sides. And oh, by the way, it's not one surgery, it's 3 surgeries every 3 months. And let's get real, it's an amputation.
Yeah.
Yeah. So which there's probably, a lot.
Probably brought you some, I mean, I know people that amputate limbs, that there's some grief, there's some psychological parts of that too. I mean, talk about that.
Yeah. So I'm trying to decide how blunt I need to be. My boobs were never that great anyway, and they weren't phenomenal after nursing five kids, okay? So that aspect of it, how they looked, that wasn't a big deal to me. The big deal to me was, how was I going to get my family through these surgeries? At first, I never, ever, ever thought about the aftermath. It was all about, I can't drive. How am I going to get my kids to school? How am I going to cook meals? How am I going to hold my children? Like, the one-year-old isn't going to understand that she can't go anywhere near me, because what one-year-old isn't going to bump your chest, right?
All right. Yep.
And then you hear stories about how there's no feeling at all because it's an amputation. So there's no feeling.
Right.
So how is that going to impact my relationship with my husband, no matter how good they look when you're done? These are real things, right? And a 34-year-old, I want to look nice in clothes. I want to wear a bikini on the beach with my kids. But here is where my problem was, and what I hope the blog can help other people with. I was so worried about just getting through the day-to-day of my family that I never dealt with any of the emotional baggage. And all of a sudden, I hit my one-year anniversary, and I became absolutely and utterly depressed.
Wow.
And I'm going, why am I upset now? Everything's fine. Everything's good now. I just ran a half marathon. Why am I upset? And it's because of what you said right there. I never dealt with the grieving, the emotional part. It was so focused on power through, power through, power through, that I never dealt with any of it.
Yeah. That's completely normal, by the way. I know you know that by now, but
yeah, survival mode. I was in survival mode is what I call it. And so then I started going to therapy. I've been in therapy for 3 years now, which I openly talk about on the blog. And now looking back, I can liken it to going through puberty, because I had a whole new body to get used to, right? Whole new sensations to get used to. There's definitely some medical issues. So for example, I have to be really careful because I have no feeling. I got a new like sports bra and went for a 6 mile run and then took it off and I was bleeding because I couldn't feel it.
Yeah.
So these are things that I write about on the blog so other women don't have to experience it.
And we're going to make sure we share that with everybody. And, you know, you, the other thing in your blog, I've been reading a lot of your stuff, and you're a great writer, by the way.
But Thank you.
The story, just to lighten it up a little bit, I love the story of Mary Poppins. Like, tell us about that. Like,
oh my gosh, do you want to talk about God at work?
Yes.
So phenomenal. I was hoping we could say that, because here's the other thing. I did not do this alone. I did not do this alone. My husband stepped up to the plate. I have neighbors that brought food. I have friends that took care of driving kids back and forth. And then here's the fun story, Mary Poppins. So I think it's been 8 years ago on Facebook, this gal accidentally friended me. And I had thought she was someone I knew from mom group earlier in the week. She thought I was her cousin that had the same last name. We friended each other, and it turned out that she was a young woman in Liverpool, England. And we just thought that it was so funny because I love all things British. And she was, of course, fascinated with this woman. She was, you know, a young single thing in Liverpool with this woman that has a bunch of babies living in the middle of nowhere. So we struck up an online friendship.
Right.
Fast forward, and all of a sudden, we're sitting here trying to plan, how are we going to take care of these five kids when my husband has to work? He couldn't take off for 3 weeks every 3 months. That just wasn't feasible. My family, they didn't have an ability to come and take care of us. His family didn't have an ability to help out. What are we going to do? Well, this gal, Mary Poppins, as I call her, kind of messaged me and, you know, was like, oh, or I believe it was something like she wanted to get away. She was kind of struggling from a bad breakup. Oh my gosh, I just need to go somewhere. And so I messaged her and was like, are you serious? You want to go? You would be willing to travel somewhere maybe? And she's like, what are you talking about? You know? And I said, here's the deal. We need help. We would pay for your airplane ticket. We would give you, you know, a place to stay here. When we didn't need you to help take care of the kids, you could have our truck and go drive and do whatever you wanted. So she actually came over and lived with us. I mean, had never met in person. Talk about a leap of faith on her part, right? Flew across the ocean and ended up being with us for 6 months. And for all intents and purposes, she was our nanny for that time period when I couldn't take care of the kids. And it worked out great, which it could have gone, it could have been a Lifetime movie instead of a Hallmark one, we always say. Lifetime ones are darker.
But you know, when it's, I mean, I think the Holy Spirit does that. When there's a relationship that's right, you can feel that. And I just love the story of how you reach it. Just, it all worked out so supernaturally, right?
Yeah, it's, I am always amazed, which I should not be at this point, at how often I can look back and go, oh, I see why that happened now. That makes perfect sense.
Yep, that's that Romans 8:28 promise that, you know, and it's terrible when Christians say it in real time to you when your kid dies and somebody says, all things work together for good, for the, you know, that's terrible. But you can always see it in retrospect down the road.
Yeah, my thing that I say all the time is God is good all the time. All the time, God is good.
That's right.
All the time. Cool.
So tell me about the impact that your willingness to share your story, the surgeries. I mean, you put the pictures on there. Talk about how that has helped people in the world.
So that actually was a real hard decision to make. So for me, one of the most valuable things as I was preparing for the surgery is I belonged to a private Facebook group where people would share pictures. So I knew what it was going to look like because it doesn't look pretty. There's a lot of real bad stages there before you get to the end game. And by the way, I do have to say too that my surgeon, my breast surgeon, Dr. Stephanie Miller, and my plastic surgeon, Michael Bateman, absolutely top of their field. Like, I could have asked for nothing better. And they actually use the blog as a resource for their patients because they've found it valuable. But seeing those pictures was the most valuable thing for me. So I knew from the very beginning that I wanted to include pictures of my body every step of the way after every surgery. And honestly, my husband was not a fan. I don't feel like I probably need to explain why. I'm sure most people would be nodding about it, especially because here's the deal. A lot of his coworkers read the blog. By that point, it was really taking off locally. So a lot of people knew about it. But we sat down and talked about it, and I explained how important it was to me. And I actually went to my priest as well, because I wanted to make sure that this wasn't just my ego in it.
Right.
That I was coming from that right place of wanting to help. And so I checked with my priest and we sat down and we really talked about it. And he understood my purpose and my reasoning and fully supported me. So I did. And the result of being so open about, you know, how nervous I was, about those pictures, about the emotional part, the depression, the getting used to my body, about feeling so disconnected for so long. And then now where I'm at, where I'll go weeks without even thinking about the surgery, months even sometimes. Now women are emailing me all the time and saying, thank you. You gave me the courage to make the right decision for my family. And for some of them, that was no. They looked at it and they knew it wasn't for them, which that's just as helpful, I think, as looking at it and being like, okay, we can do this. I want to do this.
Wow. I think the bravery of sharing your story always comes back to bless you more. You know, we shared about losing Mitch, which was also a private decision that we had to make, and it's amazing how people all over the world are like, you know, I didn't have the tools to write what you wrote, but I needed to read it, and that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, and something that I didn't even consider but was really rewarding is I had women, besides saying this helped me, saying this helped my caregiver. I had my husband read this. I had my mother read this. And so they were that much more prepared to help me through these steps. And that was something, Dr. Warren, I didn't even consider that aspect of it. But of course, once they said that, it made sense. Here's the deal. I believe there's purpose in suffering. I've been through many things besides this. You know, we have five children, but there's three that we've lost. And I have always felt that part of the purpose of suffering is easing others' suffering through your knowledge and through your compassion. And I am just so honored and privileged that I was able to do that in this instance, I think.
I think that's a perfect way to sum that up. What's the best thing that's come out of all of this for you?
You know, for me, that I have become an adventure seeker after this, because I realized if I can get through all of this, what else can I do? So I started running half marathons, which I was a geek. I was the world's biggest nerd, not athletic at all. I climbed Pike's Peak, and now I have fear, but I don't give into it. And I come from a place of yes. And I was not that person before. Before I was always the gotta have plan, gotta have structure, gotta do this, gotta set this benchmark and this benchmark. And now I've just become so much more willing just to say yes, and we'll figure it out as we go, because there was so much I couldn't plan and prepare for in that process. And I have to say that I am at a place in my life that I could not have dreamed of. And I'm loving every, well, okay, not every second of it, because, you know, life, but I'm loving where I'm at.
Well, I think that's consistent with scripture too, where he says God will give you exceedingly abundantly more than you can ask or even imagine, right? If you just trust
him. Amen.
You threw the
first
part.
Just trust him. Just trust him. Say yes, and just you'll figure it out.
There's not a better way to wrap it up, I think, than that. You know, your phrase that you said to me in the bookstore that day about throwing the first punch, that's why I asked you to come on the podcast. I wanted people to hear you say that.
I appreciate that. I think too many people live in fear, especially when they have that family history. They've seen their mom, their sister, their aunt lose a battle to breast cancer or have to fight it. You don't have to live in fear. You have the opportunity to throw the first punch.
I love it. That's perfect. That's a great metaphor, and it's a great practical thing that you did in your life. And I love the fact that our people today are going to get to hear you say that. So, Kathy, thanks for your time.
Thank you for having me. An absolute honor and a privilege, for sure.
It's great. God bless you. Thanks.
Thanks.
Well, that was an inspiring conversation. I'm really grateful that Kathy took the time to be with us today. And remember that, friend, when life gives you a problem, and you have an opportunity to think through how you're going to respond to it, one of the ways that's really effective and sometimes the only option you have is to throw that first punch, to get involved and invested in your own life. And don't just be a victim. Don't sit around and play the odds and wait for the disaster to come. Take action. In this podcast, we're going to keep giving you opportunities to learn how to do that, some tools and some abilities. But go check out Kathy's website, Prairie Wife and Heels. There's a bunch of resources there for medical information. Her writing is inspiring. She does book reviews. She does recipes, all kinds of things. You can even hire her to speak at your event. And it's a great opportunity to get to know her better, prairiewifeandheels.com. We thank Kathy for taking the time to be with us today and to helping us learn how to throw the first punch starting today. Hey, the Dr. Lee Warren podcast is brought to you by I've Seen the End of You, a neurosurgeon's look at faith, doubt, and the things we think we know, available everywhere books are sold, from Waterbrook, Penguin Random House. And don't forget to support your local booksellers. You can subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode, and please share it with your friends. Tag us on social media at Dr. Lee Warren, at Lisa D. Warren, and go to my website, wleewarrenmd.com, for more information about my newsletter, which you should get, this show, my books, and more. Hey, the theme music for the show is Blue Highway by Poddington Bear via freemusicarchive.org. That's freemusicarchive.org. Remember, you can't change your life until you change your mind, and you have to start today. I'm Dr. Lee Warren. We're about to get on the road and head off to our new adventure in Nebraska, and we hope you're up to something cool, too. We'll talk to you next time from the Cornhusker State. God bless you, my friend. Have a great day.